Aaron Dell, netminder for the Buffalo Sabres, has a hearing today. Last night in Ottawa, Sens win 5-0. Great game for Tyler Ennis. Gets the hat trick. Matt Murray with the shutout, his first of the season. But all the people are talking about is the Aaron Dell Drake Batherson incident. So Batherson is skating around the net. Aaron Dell sets a pick, essentially beside the net. Batherson goes for a tumble, goes screaming into the boards. It is an ankle injury. He will miss the All-Star game. And Aaron Dell will now have a hearing about this incident, which prompts our question of the day, you know, which is, you know, which unwritten rule in hockey do you hate the most? And we've got a lot of diverse opinions on this one. I mean, the obvious one that seems to kind of steam people more so than anything else is the automatic fight after a big hit. You know, once upon a time, like, I'm old enough to remember when a big hit was just that. It was a big hit, and it wasn't met with a fight. Now, there's a lot of reasons for the automatic fight. I've been told, stand up for the teammate, try to kill momentum on the other side, end the play, don't let the other team build off of it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It does seem as if amongst all unwritten rules in the game, that's the one that raises the most eyebrows, and people say, yeah, you know what? I really don't like that. So Aaron Dell's getting suspended. We strongly suspect. And so here it becomes the question. Who's playing net for the Buffalo Sabres now? You know, they have one goaltender under NHL contract, and that was a recent signing too, and Michael Hauser. You know, London Knights fans will certainly know that name. But you've got Craig Anderson, who's injured, but skating. Dustin Tokarski, COVID. Malcolm Subban, out for the season. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who's out with the, I believe it's a knee injury. And Michael Hauser. And that's it. Where are the other goaltenders going to come from? Now, there is one goaltender who's under an AHL deal, and that's Matt Robson. So the beneficiary of all this may just end up being Matt Robson, who may end up with an NHL deal coming out of this impending Aaron Dell suspension. Don't know. But they're down to Michael Hauser, as Aaron Dell is poised to be suspended, as we bring in Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night in Canada. That's a lot.
What's Darren Millard doing these days?
He will show up at any rink for any game, whether it's a men's league, whether it's a U14 scrimmage, doesn't matter. Put the call out to Vegas to get Ducky in net for the Buffalo Sabres. By the way, while we're on that topic, what are we looking at here for Aaron Dell, do you think? I mean, I don't think it's going to be sizable, but we don't see.
Well, he didn't get the in-person, right? We didn't get the in-person. I think the last one was Ray Emery, right? Or something like that. Yeah. So now the one thing is Dell has done it before. He had something. Someone sent me a GIF last night of, I guess he knocked over Mark Stone once too. So it's not the first time he's done it. So, but he wasn't penalized for that last one. It probably gets a couple games, I bet. That's what I would guess. It really sucks for Batherson, though. I understand the Sanders being really pissed off. And again, it just, you know, it shows you just, Jeff, how much things have changed. You know, again, when you and I were growing up, like in the 80s, the 70s, what happens after that play?
The game takes 4 hours. That's what happens everyone empties the bench. That's what
10 happens. People are ejected. Billy Smith is fighting with the toughest player on the other team.
The peanut vendors
sometimes
are standing
up
to them.
Sometimes I miss those days. Sometimes I really miss those days. I really do.
Well, were you waiting for something to happen? Like, were you waiting for like Austin Watson, like someone, Brady Tkachuk, anybody to do anything last night? There was nothing. It's a different... I don't know. It's a different game. It's a different vibe. Yeah.
I'm not, it's not the politically correct thing to say, but I don't know. Like, I don't know. I was always raised like, you know, don't start fights, but if someone comes after you, you have the right to defend yourself, or if someone does something first, you have the right to stand up for yourself. I don't know. I mean, this conversation could end very poorly for me. But,
you want me to pull you out of it? You want me to get you out? I'm just giving you enough rope right now.
You're drawing me in. There's no question. If I go down, you're at fault for this. But, you know, I have to say that I was a little surprised. Like, I guess someone said postgame, Dell said postgame, they were jawing at him quite a bit, but
ooh.
I don't know.
And then what, a couple of mean tweets next? Like,
well, you know what? Look, the thing is, like, I'm sitting here on the sidelines, and it's not like I'm calling the Senators, wimpy or anything like that, because they're not. Like, there's a lot of guys on that team that are definitely not wimpy. But, you know, I don't know.
Hang on. You know, here's the thing.
I don't know what to say. The guy got hurt, and I would, like, if I was in their shoes, I would be beyond pissed off.
There's a lot of Senators fans that feel the same way and are asking the exact same questions and wondering the exact same thing for the remainder of last night's game after Batherson left. And it became obvious that this was more than just an insignificant injury. Okay, we got a lot of stuff to get to here today.
We have legislated that stuff out, and for better or worse. And in most cases, I think it's better. I just think, like, last night I was kind of wondering, like, where are we going here? That's all.
George Parros is still an enforcer, but now he does it in a suit and tie. That doesn't do it on the ice anymore. Patrick Galvin, you know, it's interesting. A couple of weeks ago, whether it was on the podcast or here, you made the point that in your experience, you always trust the first name you hear. And that was
from
Montreal with Kent Hughes. And that's true very much here with Vancouver. The new general manager is Patrick Galvin, now ex of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Elliot, your thoughts?
Well, I was on the morning show in Vancouver today, and you know, I think that one of the things that people kind of remind me of is that Jim Rutherford likes having someone around him who knows him well enough to say, hey, let's think about what we're doing here. Are you sure about this? I guess his sober second thought, for lack of a better term. And for a long time, that guy was Jason Karmanos. And they had a falling out a couple of years ago in Pittsburgh. And Karmanos, from what I understand, did not interview this time in Vancouver. But, you know, Karmanos for a long time was that guy. Hey, Jim, are you sure about this? And let's think about this. And, you know, the thing that I was talking to some people about Alvin this morning, and one of the things they say is his strength will be that. Someone said to me, he's a Swede. And I said, that's really a brilliant insight. I could look at his bio and tell you he's a Swede. And he laughed and said, no, what I mean by that is, you know, he's pretty easygoing. He's pretty calm. He doesn't, you know, he knows how to manage people. Like, one of the things that I think Alvin's skill is that he'll listen to people. And people like to work for him and with him because he creates that kind of environment. And, you know, one thing that we're seeing here in Vancouver is we're going to have a lot of people coming in from pretty different backgrounds. You've got Rutherford with his background. Now, Alvin knows Rutherford. You've got Emily Castonguay, who's new into this particular part of the business. You're going to have more people coming into the organization, Rutherford keeps saying. Plus, you've got the people who are already there. And someone said to me this morning that Alvin will be good at that because he's good at getting people to want to work for him and with him. And I think that's going to be a very important skill here. But I think, you know, first of all, he's a guy who works. He's traveled the world. He's not afraid to go find players. And I think the other thing is that he's going to help be that person who says to Rutherford, are you sure you want to do this? Are we sure about this? Because at times Rutherford has talked about how he needs that and likes that.
And there was that friction sometimes in Pittsburgh where Alvin, I was told, specifically disagreed with things that Jim Rutherford either did or wanted to do. And that dynamic is good. Like, the last thing you want is a bunch of people sitting around the table saying, good idea, boss. It's great for your career. It's bad for your business. You know, one person that I spoke to who knows Alvin said, the one thing about him is he's thorough. Like, he would have gone into that interview, was it last Friday afternoon, knowing just about everything about the Vancouver Canucks organization from top to bottom. He said that the one thing about Alvin is he doesn't go in to any situation blind. He will have, like, the 360 Rashomon view of all of it from a number of
You really like the Rashomon references, eh? There's at least two a week.
Big Kurosawa, big Kurosawa fan. Don't get me started on the links between Ron and King Lear. We can be here all afternoon, Elliot. So here becomes a question. You talk about filling out staff with the Vancouver Canucks, and I'm sure Jim Rutherford will get this question at the bottom of the hour as we carry this press conference. Ryan Johnson, you know, that name is very much out there, and we believe that there's going to be something, we don't know what specifically, in Vancouver for Ryan Johnson. Do we have any indication, or are you warm on something, cold on something with Ryan Johnson here?
No, like I said, I mean, you know, Rutherford and Alvin are going to be talking in 15 minutes. I guess we're going to be carrying it live here, and I'm sure we'll get some more clarity on that. But I stay, like you mentioned before, you learn a lesson, you go with what you heard at the beginning. And, you know, at the beginning, we heard Alvin, and it turned out to be correct. At the beginning, I heard that there was going to be likely an increased role for Johnson here. So we'll see if that turns out to be correct. I'll wait to hear what Rutherford and Alvin have to say.
You know, and then the question becomes the Pittsburgh Penguins, who goes into Patrick Alvin's spot? You know, as one door closes, another one opens.
You know, I had to tell you, one thing I was wondering was, so you always look for people now with links to Hextall, right?
Correct.
And Dave Pryor's already there. And so the other name I was kind of wondering was a guy that has worked with Ron Hextall before, who has local connections to us in Toronto, is Alan McCauley. But I was watching.
You just got a promotion in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I was watching Chuck Fletcher and Dave Scott's media conference this morning, and Chuck Fletcher said that McCauley's been promoted. So yeah. I don't necessarily think that's going to be the case. I have to kind of go through Hextall's tree and see if there's if there's anybody there that's pretty obvious, or do they go outside and do something a little bit different? You never know. I mean, Pittsburgh has talked about that. Pittsburgh is a team that has also talked about diversifying a bit, and maybe this is their time.
And new ownership as well. We do know one thing.
Yep.
It won't be Bobby Clark. There'll be no position for
no,
Bob Clark.
No, I think it's a very safe prediction. Yeah.
You did mention Chuck Fletcher there and Dave Scott a second ago. So that's, you know, before we get to Patrick Alvin, you know, we had this Chuck Fletcher, Dave Scott press conference, and, you know, there were a couple of whoppers. Not that they were necessarily unexpected, but just to hear it from the general manager's voice and then, you know, Dave Scott from Comcast adds a certain gravity to it. So whether it was, you know, saying, look, the Claude Giroux decision is going to be the player's decision. We don't want to rebuild here. We want to get this done fast, but everything is on the table. Aggressively retool. Like a lot of buzzwords and terms we're used to hearing around the Philadelphia Flyers organization, because this is the way that Ed Snyder did it too. We don't want a lengthy drought here. We're going to turn this around quick. We need a goalie. Who's the best guy available? Breezgalov. Give him $60 million and bring him in.
Yeah.
Like that's the way the Flyers have always acted. And it sounds very much, Elliot, like that's the way they're going to continue to act in the marketplace. What did you take away from the Fletcher Scott press conference?
Exactly that. As a matter of fact, when he said we've got a blank check, and I joked every agent is going to be looking for his phone number, I got a text from someone in the league going, oh boy, this is going to be something. You know, the Flyers are open for business. I mean, the biggest news was he confirmed that that whatever happens will be Giroux's decision.
Yes.
And I do think is you know, I wrote yesterday, him and his agent, Pat Brisson, are going to sit down at the All-Star game. Giroux's representing the Flyers. Brisson's based in California. They're going to go out there and they're going to meet and talk and decide, you know, what Giroux wants to do. And he has the protection, so he will decide. You know, but after that, I thought the biggest news was exactly that. You know, that and Chuck Fletcher, Dave Scott giving Chuck Fletcher the vote of confidence. Like, it's been a nightmare there in Philly. Everybody's been telling me how miserable it's been. And, you know, all you have to do is watch on TV and you can see it. But, you know, this says to me, you know, I was talking after the Dave Scott comment, I was talking with one of the executives in the league, and he said that, you know, the one thing that he would defend Dave Scott on is that, you know, we're coming out of a pandemic and rebuilding is not easy, because when you're in a gate-driven league and we're trying to get fans back into the building, it's, you know, are you sure that, you know, they're going to accept a rebuild? And only Flyer fans can answer that. But the thing is, they're not betting you know, they're not betting with the wallet of the franchise, right? They're betting with their own wallets, but not with the wallet of the franchise. And, you know, someone said to me, until you're in that position and you're making decisions, and Comcast's a corporation, right? So it's not exactly, it's probably pretty heartless in terms of the way it does business in a lot of ways. So those are difficult decisions, very, very difficult decisions. And I think, you know, we all kind of look at it saying, are you guys sure that this is the path you want to go? But from a business point of view, I think people understand why they make that call. It's going to be fascinating. I mean, Giroux, you know, I've heard some, and I wrote this yesterday, I've heard some of the Avalanche players have been like, come here, we'd love to have you. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, he's still a really good player. Like, I think he could be rejuvenated by going somewhere to chase a cop, the right place. No guarantees, but the right place, Jeff. And then we'll see where everything goes next summer.
You know, when I hear everything's on the table, and there was a lot of discussion about Sean Couturier coming back next season, Ryan Ellis, hey, take the surgeries, get these guys ready for next season. You know that they're going to be part of the plans, obviously. We've talked about Claude Giroux. You've mentioned Rasmus Ristolainen in a couple of different places. Martin Jones, the netminder, who hasn't, you know, had the best stretch of games recently. But, you know, a couple of names that I really do wonder about, and maybe it's a non-starter because there is some, like, there is significant term attached to these players, although that might make it attractive to some teams because they wouldn't be rentals and they're young players here. You know, I wonder about players like Travis Konecny, and I know he just signed a new deal, but teams have called about Travis Konecny before. I wonder about Ivan Provorov. You know that there's been, you know, curiosity from around the league on Ivan Provorov. Like, I mean, when I hear everything is on the table, but I don't hear those names. Like, we heard Farabee's name, like, you know, that
Farabee's he's not name. Going anywhere.
No. Like, but whatever. I'm saying, like, like Scott and Chuck Fletcher are saying, like, yeah, don't worry, like, Farabee's on this team. Like, but when you don't hear Travis Konecny, when you don't hear Ivan Provorov, but you do hear we have a solid core, I just wonder, you know, when they say everything is on the table, does it include those players too?
Well, like, the thing is, like, Jeff, I don't believe, like, I hear this line all the time, Wayne Gretzky got traded, right? So, like, I don't necessarily think anyone's untouchable there, but I think some people are less touchable than others. Like, if you were to tell, there's this whole argument about, like, DeBrincat right now in Chicago. Like, I don't think the Blackhawks are looking to trade Alex DeBrincat, but if somebody steps up and gives them a monster offer for him, you know, then he could get traded. So Konecny is an interesting one because I think I've reported this before, but apparently Konecny was told last summer at the end of the season that they almost traded him, that they could have traded him and they didn't. Because they wanted to believe that he was still a big part of their team. So what that says to me is that, you know, if you want to call Philadelphia and make an offer for Travis Konecny, they're going to at least listen to you. Okay? Mm-hmm. And I think Provorov, you see, to me, Provorov is really interesting. I think Philadelphia, they really believe in Provorov. They think he's a good player. But I think they're really struggling to understand what's happening with him. But I do think there are people in that organization who, as frustrated as they've been, they really feel trading him would be a mistake. And so I think the way Philadelphia looks at it is, we'll listen, but we'd really prefer to keep him. And I could be totally wrong on that, Jeff, but that's the feel I get.
Okay.
That they would prefer to keep him.
Let me throw one more thing out at you that I thought of when I was watching this press conference and listening to Dave Scott and the blank check comment. One name I couldn't get out of my head and I still can't. Johnny Gaudreau. I'm hearing blank check, and we're not looking for a 3-4-5 year rebuild, and we're turning this thing around quick. And the one, and maybe it's too simple because, you know, from the area, it's the obvious story, but all I could think about was Johnny Gaudreau.
Well, I think that makes a lot of sense, right? Yeah, but when you look at their cap space, like the one thing is, I think they've got $70 million committed for next year, and Giroux is a UFA, Ristolainen's a UFA, Braun and Yandle are UFAs. Like, you're going to have to make some decisions to let some people go, and they probably will. But you're right. I have a feeling we know how understated, people are with rumors. I'm sure that Boudreau thing is going through like poop on a in a goose.
I don't think you're
By the
wrong.
way, I was watching the Flyers press conference today on Twitter,
Yeah.
and oh my God, I got those Flyer fans, like I'm like just the comments. I'm watching it on the Flyers feed and on their Twitter feed, and those fans, man, they are unbelievable. They were just carving that whole press conference, and I'm trying to watch and I'm listening, and but you can't help you read, you see some of these comments, and man, some of it was just like it was just way out there. Like you're just watching it and going, I some of it you're trying not to laugh, but some of it was actually very funny. But other stuff, man, like those Flyers fans, they are not happy right now. I mean, can't blame
No,
them. But
I.
it was really like I was reading it and I was like, oh
It's not like Flyers fans to be ruthless at all.
my.
This really stuns me, Elliot.
No, I know, seriously.
Not surprised at all. Okay, a couple of things from your latest blog at Sportsnet.ca, 32 thoughts. I think one thing that will raise eyebrows is the idea of Marc-Andre Fleury becoming a Washington Capital, Elliot.
Yeah, I think the Capitals are interested. I'm just like, do you remember when Josh Georges was going to be traded from Montreal to Toronto and he refused to go?
Yes, and he refused to go. Yeah.
Yeah, he said, I can't do that. I think that's a very a big thing here. I am not convinced that Fleury would be comfortable doing it. He's still very much a Penguin, and I think sometimes we underestimate how much passion there is in these rivalries. I do think the Capitals are very interested. I do think they'd love to do it. I'm just not convinced that. I mean, we have 2 months here. We'll see, but I'm just not convinced that Fleury would feel comfortable doing that at all.
And Philip Zadina with the Detroit Red Wings, is it decision time? Is it getting there? I know the conversation always turns to Quinn Hughes and the missed opportunity, but is it decision time on Zadina?
No, first of all, I'd like to talk about that because I remember that draft. I was at that draft.
Yep.
When Zadina dropped, I remember Red Wing fans saying we have to take him because everyone thought he was going to be like the third
Yes.
or fourth pick, right?
Yes.
So, like I know it hasn't worked out as well as everyone would have liked, but I always remember, like, when I think of Brady Tkachuk in Ottawa, the Senators got murdered for making that pick that night, and it turned out to be a great
That was the
pick.
same draft. It was the same draft.
Yes, I just remember that night really well. When they drafted Tkachuk, they got murdered, and it turned out to be a great pick. And the Red Wings got like they were going to take a D, and then Zadina fell to them, and they looked at each other and said, "He's the top guy on our board. We got to take him." So it just shows you the whole fickle nature of the draft. Look, Steve Yzerman's not going to tell me anything. He just isn't. But I can't help but look at this and wonder, are we getting to a place where it might be decision time on him. Just maybe a fresh start. It happens from time to time.
Yeah, I don't know. Like my magic number always on, goaltenders is between like 100, 150. That's when I start to make my mind up. It varies for forwards. It varies for defensemen as well. But I'm with you. Zadina's played 130 games, something in that area, for the Detroit Red Wings. And listen, it's not exactly a shocker to look at this and say I'm not sure whether this thing is working. But you're right. And I'll tell you another one. Montreal at three. I was told that day that the decision was between Jesperi Kotkaniemi, and if it wasn't going to be him, it was going to be Filip Zadina. That's how high he was thought of. Like, I know we have, like, hindsight being 2020, we look back at drafts and we say, well, how did you miss on this? And don't forget, like, Quinn Hughes and Adam Boqvist, there was still, and this isn't even that long ago, there was still the idea that they're too small to play in the NHL, right? All right. Oh,
Yes.
these guys are
Well,
small, smallish defensemen here. I don't know about this. Who's going to risk it first if
yes.
Vancouver went out and made the smart decision and grabbed Quinn Hughes?
I totally understand. And the one thing about Montreal is I think people thought that Bergevin was getting a center no matter what, and they felt Kotkaniemi was going to be the guy. I remember that because Arizona was picking fifth, and they took Barrett Hayton, and they wanted a center too, and they knew that in front of them Montreal was taking a center. It was a really amazing draft because I just remember people just crapping all over the Senators for taking Tkachuk, and people praising how lucky are we, the Red Wings, that this player has fallen to us. And it just shows you what a crapshoot it can be.
Yeah, it does. We're all going to go watch the Vancouver press conference now. Thanks, Friedge.
This is going to be the best 30 minutes of the Jeff Merrick show because you're not going to be on.
Because I won't be on it once. Not one
That's right.
sound out of my mouth. Very nice. Thank you for the promo. Appreciate it, partner.
All right.
There he is, Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night in Canada. We'll step away. When we come back, we'll head to Vancouver in the Patrick Alvin, Jim Rutherford press conference. Alvin today named the new general manager of the Vancouver Canucks. That when the Merrick Show continues across the Sportsnet Radio Network.